Greetings and salutations, and welcome back to Colin's Last Stand right here on YouTube. My name is Colin Moriarty. First of all, it's great to be back with all of you. I took my very first vacation since I founded Colin's Last Stand. I went back east. I visited with my brother in Philadelphia. I went and saw Ramon, my best friend, open for our favorite band, 311. And then I went home to see my dad and my brother. My dad and I went to Montauk at the east end of Long Island, my home of Long Island, of course. And we had a really great time. So thank you all for your patience as I was gone. I feel refreshed. I feel rejuvenated. And I'm ready to jump back in to some more politics and to some more history. Before I do that, I do want to point you to a letter I wrote over at Patreon at patreon.com/Colin's Last Stand. You can find the link in the description below to my Patreon. Even if you're not a patron, you can still read it and see what I had to say. I know a lot of you wanted me to speak out about what happened with Patreon and Lauren Southern, who's another political commentator. I also talked a little bit about merchandising plans for Colin's Last Stand, which are imminent, and also something about a 9/11 episode that I'm trying to do with my father. I know a lot of you have been asking about that. So information there on all of that. But enough of that. Let's get into this. This is specifically about Donald Trump. I wanted to write a little something. I wrote a little script about just how I'm feeling about Donald Trump and what I feel like is kind of the slow and steady demise of his administration. I think that no matter whether you support him, whether you like him or any of those kinds of things, or whether you hate him, I think we're kind of all looking through the same objective lens, which is that he's not going to be able to get anything done. And there are a lot of reasons why that is. But the biggest reason of all, really, is Donald Trump. Let's go. It's no secret to my audience that I am no fan of Donald Trump, which is funny because there was a time when I was a huge fan of Donald Trump. But that was before his flirtation with the 2016 election, before he took the political world by storm, before he won the presidency against all odds in what was inarguably the single most impressive victory in the history of the American presidency. I loved Trump the entertainer, but I became so perturbed by Trump the politician that I abandoned the Republican Party during his ascent. I had concerns that he lacked the temperament, decorum, and focus to effectively lead a nation that yearns for unity. I thought he was inherently too divisive for the time and the place, regardless of if I actually agreed with more than a few of his policy prescriptions, because I do. But this video isn't about whether I like Donald Trump or not, or whether you do either. It's not about whether you voted for him or whether you support his policies, the individual members of his administration, or his goal to quote-unquote make America great again. None of that is important here and now. I don't think Trump voters and Trump supporters are bad people. In fact, I know more than a few. Same goes for those that supported Clinton or Johnson or Stein or someone else entirely. I think the team sport mentality of modern politics blurs the lines and makes things more personal than they have to be or need to be. I understand why people voted for Trump, and as many of you may remember, I staunchly defended his base when many people ridiculed them and wrote them off. His populist vision for an America that remembered the lost working class is romantic, and to many, it's the difference between a house and a hovel. I get it. But I want to focus on something else, one point above everything, a fact, as it were. The Trump presidency has been defined by unending chaos. And a republic cannot be effectively governed when its leadership is enveloped in a ceaseless spiral of negativity. The Trump administration has stumbled into a chasm of ineffectiveness and outright ineptitude. In this sense, it's time to accept reality. I don't believe Trump will be impeached or removed from office, nor do I believe he'll resign, but I do think he's on track to be one of the most ineffective leaders in American history. I gave Donald Trump the benefit of the doubt time and time again because I wanted him to succeed, just as I wanted Obama to succeed and Bush before him and so on and so forth. I still want Trump to succeed. I don't think Trump is a stupid man or a bad person. I don't think Trump is racist or sexist or transphobic or homophobic. I really don't. I just think he's ill-prepared for the job he holds. I think he's unable to delegate power. I don't think he's a good judge of character. I don't think he has a base of knowledge necessary to form a principled worldview. I don't think he can control himself and his outbursts. And I think, worst of all, he's fatally injured the decades-old rallying cry that an outsider can come to Washington and change the game forever. That, for me, is the biggest shame of all. I think that sets a pretty good basis for the video that I wanted to make today because I want to put all my cards out on the table and tell you what I'm all about. I voted for Gary Johnson. I was a Republican. I left the Republican Party. I know a lot of that is old news to many of you, but I wanted to let you know that, yeah, I don't really care for Donald Trump as a president. I didn't care for him much as a politician, but I am trying to look at the situation objectively, and I don't think you're going to find many people who didn't vote for Trump that gave him more benefits of the doubt, or is it benefit of the doubts? I guess it's benefits of the doubt than I did. And I'm not necessarily, ashamed of that either. I wanted him to do well just as I'd want any president to do well, because it means a lot to our country. And this, as you all know, is a pivotal time. There's definitely an important component in this overall equation that I think has to be stated before we go any further. I think Trump has been mistreated a great deal by the media. I think that's fairly obvious. It's not that the media is always wrong about him, it's simply that they're blatantly out to get him no matter what. When you're dealing with a large group of people that write about you, cover you, make videos about you, and podcast about you every day, and 95% of them are absolutely positively disgusted by the very thought of you, well, that makes for some tough sledding. It makes it difficult to think you could ever turn things around. Here's the thing though. Trump invites the pain on himself time and time again. It wasn't long ago when I warned that the media and the Democrats were in danger of making Trump into a sympathetic figure, a bullied leader who's fighting for the little guy and isn't even being given a chance, who is being unfairly treated because his rise threatens the status quo across the board. All of that is still true, of course, but Trump effectively destroys any recourse he has more and more each day as he tweets dumb things, says stupid stuff at speeches and during interviews, and further alienates and isolates himself from essential allies at the federal, state, and local levels. Effective leaders in Washington, D.C. have long built durable coalitions surrounding issues and done the work of the American people even in the face of overwhelming odds and entrenched resistance. Donald Trump's party controls every level of federal power and can't get anything done. Not one damn thing. What does that tell you? Well, to some, it says that the Republicans are dealing with a staunch opposition party completely opposed to their agenda. That's true, of course, but then again, that was true for Obama too, and pretty much every president going back to Washington. The other team doesn't always want to play nice, but they're on the field and they're in the game. Recruiting some of them to your side with good ideas, with rational thinking, and with an attitude of compromise is how adults act. Being petulant, off the cuff, unbending, uncollaborative, and frankly mean at times? That's how a child acts, not a leader. That sort of behavior puts people off from ever wanting to be near you. Optics reign supreme in politics. Even if you liked something Trump was for, would you want to be in the West Wing photo op with him, sponsoring a bill with one of his allies, when he'll inevitably embarrass you, like he's embarrassed virtually everyone else around him? All Trump had to do was be quiet, to keep his head down and to get to work, to reach out to members of the House and Senate from both parties, to keep lines of communication open with the power brokers, to be willing to bend, to entrust a squad of deputies to work incessantly on his behalf because they believe in the man and in the mission. If he didn't give the media and the Democrats, and frankly, an ever-growing number of independents and centrists, ammunition, he'd be golden, even if he's clearly ineffective in several other ways. But he can't shut up. Why can't Donald Trump just shut up? That's the biggest question of all. The answer to that particular question is obvious. He's insecure. But so are many of us. I mean, I have plenty of insecurities, and I'm sure you do too. And as the most powerful man in the world, being president of the United States, you have to overcome. You can't say what you're thinking at all times, every day of the week. You just can't do it. And what's sad is that he's burned so many bridges, not only with the other party, who is never going to want anything to do with him, but with many people in the middle, and even some people on the right, that I don't think there's really any coming back for him. I just don't believe it. I'm an American, so I hope I'm wrong because I want great things for our country, but it's just not looking very good. I mean, that's just my sense of the situation, and I know many of you might disagree with me. But the crux of the issue is, yeah, he might be treated unfairly at times, and that sucks. But being the way he is, it kind of sucks too. When you foment chaos and when you embrace it, well, chaos will inevitably surround you. Hell, it will straight up trap you. As I've remarked recently, Donald Trump's White House is akin to the ultimate game of Survivor, with a firing and resignation list all but solidifying Trump's unique mixture of bad decision-making. National Security Advisor Mike Flynn resigned under intense scrutiny mere weeks into Trump's tenure. Craig Deere was fired from the National Security Council days later. A little over a month after that, Deputy White House Chief of Staff Katie Walsh left. Widely respected FBI Director James Comey was fired after that. Disney CEO Robert Iger and forward-thinking entrepreneur Elon Musk both resigned from Trump's advisory council. The director of the Office of Government Ethics, Walter Shaub Jr., resigned. Days later, Sean Spicer resigned as press secretary and White House communications director, followed out the door days later by his deputy, Michael Short. Regional National Security Advisor Derek Harvey was fired the same day Short left. And then 2 days after that, Reince Priebus resigned as chief of staff after a new, completely unfit director of communications was hired, in the form of Anthony Scaramucci, the Mooch. I don't know how familiar all of you are with presidential administrations, but that's quite the bloodbath. It is, in fact, a completely unprecedented purging from any young administration. And who's the common denominator in all those firings and resignations? Donald Trump has been president for all of half a year. We're an eighth of the way through his term, and he's already down a chief of staff, easily the most important position in the president's office by a country mile. He fired the tenured FBI director, he lost his all-important national security advisor, and he shuffled through the leadership team of his press and communication shops. That's the very definition of an abject disaster for any president, especially one as divisive and under siege as Trump. I don't need to tell you that Trump didn't have a mandate. He lost the popular vote by millions. So peace and tranquility in his White House would have gone a very long way indeed towards reinforcing his policy agenda and his ability to get things done. Meanwhile, and most sad of all, vital work that needs to be done on behalf of the American people remains perpetually sidelined. Healthcare is a mess. Our tax system is an epic embarrassment. Immigration is completely broken. The market booms as manufacturing operations and brick-and-mortar locales close up, as people borrow more and more and inflate an all-new, ultimately catastrophic bubble, creating an economic scenario ripe for an inevitable reckoning. There are half a dozen military flashpoints across the world that could escalate wildly at any moment. Taxpayers are drowning under the weight of out-of-control spending, a pyramid scheme-esque social programs network, and our unfathomable and immoral $20 trillion debt. We don't have time to waste on any politician, from the top down to the bottom of the power structure that's not getting his or her job done. The clock is ticking and we're going to be in a lot of trouble in untold numbers of ways if we don't get a grip. Congress isn't blameless, nor is the media, nor all of us. There's more than enough blame to go around, but Trump is at the nexus of all of it. And whether you like him or not, I think we can agree on that. As his approval numbers remain in the gutter, and as his base of support remains his only true ally, one has to wonder whether Trump simply has what it takes to do what's necessary at such a pivotal time in history. I lean conservative, and even I'm certainly not afraid to bring up the obvious. Trump's grip is slipping. His brash style has blown up in his face more times than anyone can count. He's losing what few allies he had. The only people left in his orbit from the so-called old guard of any consequence are the two people who won him the election in the first place, as well as his family, who he cannot fire or distance himself from. Virtually everyone else is gone. Trump's constant losses in the Congress, in the media, and with the public further prove what all of this other mounting evidence already overwhelmingly suggests: that he's adrift, that he's alone, and that he's becoming more ineffective with every minute that passes. And something has to give, or this is going to be one long, fruitless 4-year experiment. No one should want to see that. I sure don't. I know this is going to be tough for some people to hear and digest. It's kind of tough for me to say because, you know, I don't want any president to fail. And, you know, when Mitt Romney, for instance, who was a candidate I supported a great deal in 2012, when he lost to Obama, well, I was in Obama's corner because the whole not my president thing, the stupid, silly, nonsensical not my president thing. No, he is your president. If you're an American, he is your president. So this really has a lot to do with you. And it's not time to necessarily be scared because I don't think there's much to be scared of from the man. We should be scared instead of all the things that are not happening because the man and his unwillingness to bend stand in the way. The only thing that Donald Trump will listen to try to right the ship are the people that love and support him. And until they start holding him accountable for all of these things, we're not going to see any change. And that's really unfortunate because I really do believe that those people have the best interests of the country at heart, just like I think Donald Trump does. But sometimes, you know, I was talking to my dad when I was home with him just a few days ago, and we were talking about Jimmy Carter. Jimmy Carter was a terrible president, but he was clearly a good man, and he clearly had his heart in the right place. He was just wrong about a lot of things. And I feel like Donald Trump is just another facsimile of that. I don't think there's anything wrong with having voted for him, and I don't think there's anything wrong with him having won the election. But I think there's something wrong when a massive group of people, his supporters, simply refuse to see reality, because he'll listen to you guys. He really will. He really will listen to you guys. And it's time to hold his feet to the fire. I thought what John McCain said on the Senate floor the other day about returning to normal order, about working together, about building coalitions and crossing the aisle, I think that's essential stuff because neither side has a monopoly on good ideas. And in fact, I think the only monopoly of good ideas can be had when people look at both sides equally and see what they have to offer. I'll be watching all of this obviously with a lot of interest because we can't help but do so. This kind of stuff is just deconstructing before us. But I really fear that Donald Trump isn't the man for the job in terms of reaching that higher echelon, of being the man that reaches for the next big thing, that tries to do the hard thing. He can't even stop tweeting. And half the time he tweets, no one in his administration, no one in his leadership orbit has any idea what he's even talking about. When you lose your chief of staff this early on, the person who's supposed to hold all the power, the person who's really supposed to be the yin to your yang, man, oh man, you are in trouble. And ignoring that is ignoring reality. As always, I'll be really interested to hear what you think about this. If you like what I have to say, you can thumb up the video. Of course, you can thumb it down. If you don't, I want you to be honest. Leave a comment down there. Be respectful to each other and to me. We have a really great community here on YouTube, so I'd like to keep that going. As always, as I remind you in every video, this is completely ad-free. Colin's Last Stand is ad-free. There are no ads running on YouTube. There are no baked-in activations or ads or anything like that. I would really love for you to go to patreon.com/Colin's Last Stand. Check out what's offered there. You can give me $1, $2, $5, $10 and up a month for different perks, and you allow this show to exist. All right, I appreciate your time. I appreciate your attention. I hope you and your family and your friends are all doing very, very well. I will see you for the next episode of Colin's Last Stand. In the meantime, keep on learning.